teaching. So if I trip over my words or wires, you will know that that's normal. And having been here 12 years, you know my way of life and my purpose. So if I try and say things that just don't stack up, that lack integrity, you'll know and you'll see straight through them. And this is a truly privileged position to be in, because I have no pretense. And I can just simply share the words of Scripture with you, as I've done week after week for the last 12 years. So we're going to continue just to look at those words that Paul imparted to Timothy, that Paul says to Timothy, to see what Paul imparts as he departs. Use a phrase, "but you," to highlight the different points in this sermon. I was going to put up a picture of a sheep and its backside, so that you would know, "but you," but I thought it was inappropriate, so didn't. But why did I mention it then? I don't know. These words from Paul are often used as the induction of a minister, and they seem to fit more comfortably, however, with the end of a ministry than they do with the start, because Paul is passing on to Timothy. So we're going to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, to 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a part of it, and then I'm going to speak about it and share a thought, and then we're going to read the next part of it and share another thought. Here, Paul is coming to the end of his life, the end of his ministry. He knows that his death is just imminent, and I will have to say there are similarities. I'm not quite sure that I'm going to die. But in passing on, he says to Timothy the words that we have in front of us. And he speaks those to Timothy as he passes on the baton. And there are four things that I want to say this morning. But let's read. Well, let's pray. Father God, speak, we pray now. Open our hearts and ears to you. And let our lives reflect your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecution, sufferings, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Our first "but you" is found in verse 10. However, the NIV translates it, "you however." But the words are in the Greek. Well, I won't give you the Greek words, but they are "but you." In actual fact, they are "you, but," and it starts emphatically with "you." And what he's trying to do is make clear that you are going to be different from what I've just said. It's a contrast with what has gone before, and it is saying you are to be different from what's gone before. So it's worth looking in this case at the preceding verses to see to what Paul is referring. Paul is speaking of the days when people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, loaded down with sin, swayed by all kinds of evil desires, never able to acknowledge the truth. And it's clear that the world around us are becoming increasingly lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And it's all too easy to go along with the hedonistic culture of our day and just enjoy life and say, "What the heck, you only live once, let's enjoy it and make the most of it." But Paul says here, But you, be distinctive. But you, be distinctive. That is my first point, Paul's first point to Timothy. Our second but you is found in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have made known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In this verse, we have one of the most well-known and important verses of Scripture, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And lots of us have learnt this verse in the early years of our Christian journey. And if you haven't, that's a great verse to start with. It's a fantastic verse because it reinforces two fundamental truths about Scripture. The first is that it's from God. Scripture comes from God. We might think, oh, different authors wrote it and different people compiled it, but it came from God. It is God-breathed, and God breathes it and continues to breathe it day after day. And he uses Scripture and brings it to life in the preaching and through the reading of his word. He brings that to life, and it's God's word. Other parts of Scripture, it says, God will not allow his word to return to him without having achieved the purpose for which he sent it. God is working through his Holy Spirit to use his word today and every day. And that is a fantastic thing that we can, a fundamental of our faith, to recognize that this word, our Bibles, are the word of God, and they come from God. And the second fundamental truth is that it's useful for teaching beliefs and for regulating conduct. Scripture is good for teaching us what we believe about our faith, but it is also very good for regulating our conduct. If you've got difficulty because you can't do one thing or you always do another thing, go to Scripture. And you will find as you let Scripture live in you, it will help regulate your conduct. If you don't know which way to go, if you don't know right from wrong, Scripture provides that for us. We can be in no doubt that Scripture is fundamental for Christian maturity. Yet, this is not the main message that Paul is telling Timothy. Look again at verse 14 to see his parting message. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. But you, continue. It is important. Scripture is important. But what's important is that we continue in it. That we continue in what we've learned, that we don't give up. It's easy to give up after a while. The journey can be long and difficult, and we can say, oh, I'm not sure anymore. But the importance is to continue. So the first but you is but you be distinctive. The second but you is but you continue. And our third but you is found in verse 5 of chapter 4. So to understand it, we'll look at the first five verses. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct. Rebuke. Encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all your duties of your ministry. It is clear from verse 1, Paul is making a very serious point here. He goes all serious on Timothy and he says, before the God, the judge of all the earth, he brings God into that and says, he's the judge. And he says, Timothy, listen to this. This is an awesome charge that I'm putting on you now. This is the meat of the message that many ministers' induction services. And it should be foundational to all who are called to the ministry of the word. Preach the word in season. Paul makes clear that the time is coming when people will move away from the fundamentals of faith and will look for ministers who will focus on what they want to hear and avoid the uncomfortable truths of the gospel. And it is this that Paul addresses with our third but you. But you, be consistent in season and out, through hardship and hard work. Keep God's word at the center of God's work. Keep God's word at the center of God's work. Be consistent about it. The fourth but you isn't strictly a but you. If you read it, you would recognize the words are not but you. Though Paul does include you, he says, but to all in verse 8, which we will use to our final point of but you. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to you who have longed for his appearing. Paul is very clear. He has reached the end of his life and his ministry. He sums it up and says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And in light of this, he will receive his award, a crown of righteousness, not just for him, but for all. And as we read in the book of Revelation, and I give you the crown of life. Paul sums up his ministry and reward, and we could call the fourth, but you, is but you be faithful, even up to the end. Right to the end. It's easy to give up partway, to think this is, I've done the main bit and not finish off well. But it's important that we continue faithful to the last. Right through to the end of our lives. It's easy to give your life and your passion to God in your middle years, your younger and middle years, but to get to the end of your life, keeping the flame burning is what it's about. Keep on going to the end, but you be faithful. So the message of Timothy was, but you be distinctive from the world around you. But you continue in what you've learned in the Bible. But you be consistent with the Bible at all times. But you be faithful in ministry right up to the end. This is a message that's relevant to each and every one of us as Christians, but I believe is also pertinent for the whole of Kendall Road at this time. Remain distinctively Christian in how you are as a church. Yes, we have to adapt to the world around us. We can't just live as a thing that was when it was set up. We have to adapt. Don't adapt and get conformed to the world's pattern. Don't start doing things in this church that the world would do, hang on in there and stay consistently Christian, distinctively Christian. Keep the Bible central, for it will guide you in what you believe, and it will help deal with all the issues of behavior within church and what we believe. It's important that we hang on to the Bible, that we don't start saying, oh, well, what we believe, and you say, where did that come from? And it just grows up as a myth. I remember coming here when I first came, and there was a myth that said there was no alcohol allowed to be served within the church. That's a good rule, but it wasn't the case. It was a myth that had grown up over years. And it's easy for those things to happen. But we need to hang on in there to what the Bible says in every aspect of church life. Choose your next pastor based on her or his adherence to the Bible rather than on meeting your desires or whether they say the things that you like. It's easy to choose somebody that says the nice things, and it's easy for us as pastors just to say the things that we think you want us to hear because we want to. And it's true at interview, you go in and you want to make a good impression, so you try and say the right things. Don't choose somebody that just says the right things. Choose somebody that will challenge you to get to the Christian faith and will correct you, rebuke you, and bring you back in line. It's not nice, I recognize. None of us like it. But choose somebody that you don't like. You did good last time. And keep on going, faithfully fulfilling the God has given us as a community, the love and love others. That is the vision of this church and of every church, to keep on loving God and loving others. Keep faithfully fulfilling that as a church. Be distinctive. Continue in what you've learned. Be consistent and be faithful to the end. I want to use some words from Genesis to offer to you a final blessing. Now may the Lord keep watch between you and us when we are away from each other. And may he be glorified in and through us both until we meet again.